This is my time. And trust me, if I could have took those other deals, I'd have been pulling up here. I'd have been pulling up here.
No, hold on.
You spaceships.
You pull up in a Maybach.
I'm talking about pulling up in four of them.
This whole Illuminati, right? Mm-hmm. When you look at battle rap now, right? Is now doing the Illuminati.
Oh yeah, meth
right?
Brought
battle
in.
Rap.
On the Illuminati.
Oh yeah, meth
right?
Brought
battle
in.
Rap.
Meth brought me in. So right now,
okay. They got with the handshakes. They doing the battle rap.
Right.
So
okay.
It made me look at like this because of course does it exist? Maybe it's something like that. But at the end of the day,
because I don't believe none of it now.
I don't now either. The further I got, I don't believe it none now neither. But right. I did believe it at one point. I did, you know, I was approached. I was where a person asked me, yo, such and such. And I was just like, nah, like, you know.
Such and such, like who?
Like,
you mean,
yo, man? You know, because at the end of the day, you probably make it to where you make it on your own.
Right.
But a lot of people will offer you something to sustain that.
On the way.
And I, at that moment, this was, I don't know if it was that person or if this was the whole entity that came with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was offered something and I just wasn't with it. Mm-hmm. And then they said, good luck, young man, you're on your own. And I never went platinum since.
Wait, so what did they offer you?
They were just like, you know, you walk this way or you come this way. And
that's weird.
Did they ask about like sacrifices or something?
Nah, I didn't go that far. Like, I was just like, all right, cool. I'm going to go this way. And that was their exact words.
What impact did they sell you on? But they didn't say, hey, we can do such and such and such.
Nah, they didn't. It wasn't like that.
I wasn't really allowed.
If that was the case, it really wasn't allowed. Or maybe I was bugging. I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The thing about it was, I did never go platinum again. I did never go platinum again.
No, it's a conspiracy sometimes.
So I kind of thought that. But when I came back, and maybe it was me. Maybe because I figured out another way to do it. You know, maybe
right.
I run this course. Like, it doesn't matter how dope you are. The audience gets tired of you after a while.
Right.
Now, you could blame it on, I wasn't this guy or I wasn't with this guy.
Oh,
or you could say, yo, the audience gets tired of you.
Yeah.
Things change.
At that time when I was being offered something just once, I really thought that this was what that moment was. This was Illuminati and I turned it down.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is, I did. And nothing, like I was still successful. I just wasn't successful as I was prior to that moment.
Right.
So I always thought that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, could I have been bugging? Of course. Could I have been correct? Of course.
Mm-hmm.
I actually don't know. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you like this time I've made it all 1,000,000% without that being approached. Now,
right.
Is that mm-hmm. because I'm not as powerful as I was back then?
Okay.
I don't know. Was I bugging back then? I don't really know. I just know that I'm safe. I don't deal with none of that. The worship
right.
shit that is.
But I just wanted to kind
about.
Of clarify.
But it was weird. It was weird for me at that point in
right.
my life. It was weird. Yeah.
So I wanted to just see if it's unfairly put on like a lot of the industry.
Yes, it's unfairly put.
Like, yeah.
The thing
at
about
one point,
it
everybody's Illuminati. It's like
right.
Everybody's successful.
Successful.
Oh, yeah, yes. Successful.
Was Illuminati.
Successful.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I don't like that.
And that's kind of corny because the thing about it is this. First off, when you really research Illuminati, that is Rockefeller, not Jay-Z Rockefeller. This is Rockefeller. These are people.
These are the 1% of the world.
These are a lot of people who probably won't even meet with black people.
Feel me?
Right.
You understand? So if there was an Illuminati, it should be a black version of Illuminati.
Yeah.
Now that version.
I think
version,
that's cool.
I kind of down with that version.
I like that.
Like, if that version
cool.
does exist,
I like
that.
If
that version does exist, I would be down.
Yeah,
community leaders gathered this evening to talk about public policy goals, specifically in Springfield's black community. The Beta Sigma Boule fraternity hosted a fireside chat with Suffolk County District Attorney Rachel Rollins. Beta Sigma Boule is the oldest Greek letter organization for professional men of color. Tonight's event encouraged community members to have a conversation with the DA.
The topics of social justice, criminal justice reform, opioid crisis, public health, those are issues that affect everyone, but especially impact the black community.
And Gregory Vincent, who leads Beta Sigma Boule International, was also in attendance.
All right, peace, y'all. Peace. So in this video, we're going to be talking about Nori and the Drink Champs. All right, now, I personally have a vendetta with Nori because of some people that I know that he basically disrespected. Now, I'm not going to make it personal, but I just say this, like, Nori was on live with my homeboy, and I told my homeboy to ask Nori, yo, you remember my OG Gregory? Nori said, I don't know who you're talking about, but it's so crazy because, you know, my OG Greg would actually big up Nori. He grew up in Left Rack City, so they around the same age. And I'll never forget that, how his response was. So when I tell y'all a lot of these entertainers, money changed them, it's a fact. You know what I'm saying? Money changes these people. And we're going to talk about how a lot of these podcasters be selling their soul, all right, for fame and fortune. All right, now, Nori actually got on through Tragedy Gaddafi. All right, now Tragedy Gaddafi is from Queensbridge, if you didn't know. All right, now, some people don't know this, but Tragedy, Capone, and Ghostface Killer are actually all related. All right, but they won't tell you this, but this clip will. Now, out of all of them, all right, Tragedy was actually the first one to enter the industry. He came in through Marley Marl, and he was able to get his cousin Capone a deal, but Nori was actually left out. Now, in my personal opinion, I truly believe that that's where the beef actually started between Nori and Tragedy Gaddafi. All right, I believe that, you know, Nori kind of felt like Tragedy wanted to leave him behind because he wasn't from Queensbridge. Believe it or not, those politics did actually exist, all right, in Queens. Now, Tragedy would actually show favoritism and get Capone a deal. But Nori will tell you that the labels didn't want him or wasn't interested in him, when actually Tragedy was basically blacklisting him from getting a deal, all right? Now, with Capone actually fighting to work with Nori, that gave him the legroom to get the deal with Penalty Records and release his first solo album. Now, if you don't think Nori took the oath at the beginning of his career, all right, you are highly mistaken, all right? I just want y'all to look at this album cover here and pay attention to the way that Nori's hands are being held here, all right? Not to mention that he's the reason why Pharrell is even famous today, all right, with the song Super Thug. Y'all know the story. You know, Pharrell went up to approach him and like, yo, I'm going to be the next best thing. Nori was like, let me hear it. And next thing you know, they created a classic, all right? Now, this album went platinum. All right, this first album that Nori put out, it went platinum. Ironically though, when the second album was done, Melvin Flint the Hustler, his father died. All right, so Nori know all about sacrifices, and we're going to talk about the sacrifices he made to get where he is. Don't think Nori's a little dog in the industry, because he's not. He's up there with the top elite. A lot of people know who Nori is, and he's tied in. And we're going to talk about who he's tied in with. Now, to be quite honest with y'all, I'm going to tell y'all some real spill. I know we heard stories by Yash Karaj saying, you know, the $20 million club and all of this stuff, but your album just doesn't go platinum for no reason, especially in that time, okay? Now, I'm not taking away any credit from Nori and saying that the album was trash, his first album, but in all reality, okay, for you to shoot to superstardom while Capone is in jail and you are actually holding it down and can hold down a solo career, it just shows that some type of practices was done for him to level up that quickly, all right? Literally in a one-year span, he leveled up, all right? That album came out in 1997, all right? Now, Nori's rap career wasn't taking off as it was supposed to, all right? But somehow, like I said, he still kept coming out with hit records. You know what I'm saying? He had hit records like Nothing, Grimy, and he was also the first artist to introduce reggae tone. All right? Now, with a lot of new people at Def Jam, all right, at the time, like L.A. Reid and all of these other people, they didn't know actually what to do with Nori. All right? So they dropped him. He got dropped from Def Jam. All right? And he and Capone reunited again for another album. And they went on to sign with E1. But that album didn't do too good. All right? Now, at this time, all right, he was on a rampage. And this is when he started dissing Nas and Prodigy after Prodigy wrote in his book that Nori has shot Ty Nitty by accident. All right? He then went on to sign with Cash Money and was dropped. Then he signed to Flip Mode with Busta Rhymes, but nothing happened. So all his doors was closing as far as when it came to hip-hop. Nori didn't really have an identity at that time. You get what I'm saying? A lot of people didn't understand him. Okay, he was just some dude that rapped from Queens, and nobody really took his rap career seriously. All right? But around this time is when people like Joe Budden was actually dominating on YouTube. I would say around like 2009, 2010, right? After realizing that rap wouldn't work for him, he started the Drink Champs podcast from his apartment. Now, a lot of people will deny this, but he got that idea from Combat Jack. Right, Combat Jack was one of the first people to actually go and start up a podcast, what we know today as podcast. All right, now, rest in peace to Combat Jack. He was very tied in with a lot of people, but he was actually the first person to start the whole concept of podcasting. All right, now, at the beginning, the podcast was cool, all right, when it first started. But then, y'all got to pay attention to this part. It took a bigger turn, all right, when DJ EFN got involved. Now, for those that don't know, okay, EFN is a Freemason, okay? He's a Freemason, and he's also a Cuban from Miami. Now, I won't go into details about what I mean by that, but if you know, you know. All right, now, I'm going to show y'all this clip from our old video where I broke this whole thing down.
Yeah, I believe in Illuminati. I don't believe it the way they describe it. I don't believe that there's actually Illuminati in hip-hop. Now, with that being said, does Illuminati exist? It goes back to the Egyptian pyramids. Now, is the Masons claiming that? Some do, some don't. The way they describe it in hip-hop, no. But now, with that being said, there is a certain level that you get at that you can't go no further unless you're aware of certain things. And I'll leave it at that. You know what I'm saying? There's a certain level that you get to that there's a door that you have to walk through. And it's on you to walk through that door. And once you walk through that door, there's no coming back. Now, I didn't walk through the door. So I can't really pinpoint it for you. I can't say it. But I got to that level. Now, I ain't telling you I was approached to join the Illuminati. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I got to a level where there was big boys that was saying, here's another step.
This is his homeboy, his DJ that he been with for the past 15 years. EFN or whatever his name is. Look at the shirt he got on right here. You see what I'm saying? Pay attention to the signs. You know what I'm saying? These motherfuckers is evil, man. And they don't care. They only give a damn about a dollar. Now, when you see this podcast, right? And you see these different podcasts and they get all of these astronomical payouts, all right? You got to remember something. They're not... This is the new record deals these days, okay? They're getting well over hundreds of millions of dollars for these podcasts to sit there and promote alcohol and talk about absolutely nothing or old stories from hip-hop, right? And you think to yourself, why would somebody pay them $300 million or $200 million, all right, to sit there and tell old stories, right? But this is the new record deals. Podcasting is basically the new record deals. Now, if you didn't know, we're going to talk about sacrifices. If you didn't know, Nori's nephew, Twin, all right, who was actually paralyzed from a failed sacrifice prior, was killed in a car crash, okay? Now, lo and behold, okay, after his nephew, Twin, dies, okay, he gets a big payout with Revolt. Okay, they was going towards CBS and all of these different places, but Revolt picked them up.
Yo, Twin, you gotta relax. You gotta relax.
Yo, I'm grateful for it, man. I got shot last November. And this November, I'm here alive with my family, so I'm grateful for that, because I could have been dead. This time last year, I was shot in my spine. Now I'm in a wheelchair, but look, I'm living life. I'm still winning, you hear? Still moving forward. You know, showing people you can still live life no matter what happens. It's just obstacles you gotta live through, you hear? It's a challenge, so it makes it even more interesting now, because now it's all about mind games. I got that, you hear? But I'm grateful for being here in Los Angeles, my family. I'm grateful for the Ciroc dinner.
Alright, now the same thing, ironically, the same exact thing happened with Gilly and Wallow with the Barstool deal. Alright? They signed that contract, next thing you know, Gilly's son dies. Okay? Joe Budden is another one. Alright, his friend Uncle Mike. Alright, now you gotta understand something. Nori has a lot of ties with these people at the top. Leo Cohen, Diddy, Jay-Z, and also Nas. So he knows all about these practices. You get what I'm saying? He knows all about it. And mind you, you got to understand, podcasting is big business, but you don't make no money unless sponsorship or corporations get involved. And the way, like I tell y'all all the time, the way that these people have to trust you is by doing certain things and participating in certain practices. There's no way you're just going to get $100 million, $200 million, $300 million for a podcast. Everybody that you see with these astronomical numbers on their show, even down to Joe Rogan, have all participated in some type of ritualistic practices. You get what I'm saying? Because these corporations at the top, they know what people want to see. All right? So what they do is they sign them a check, but then they tell them, hey, listen, in order for us to trust you, you got to do this, that, and the third. And for the most part, you know, these old rappers, they want another life. They want another lifeline. So they're going to do it. They're going to do it. You get what I'm saying? And it's sad, but this is the truth and reality of how all of this stuff works. Podcasting is no different than record deals. It's the same thing. You're building a brand. And when you're building a brand, they have to be able to trust you within that circle. All right? So when people say, yo, why do these people gotta make sacrifices to be famous and rich? It's not per se them. It's these corporations at the top. Okay, because the higher up you go on that ladder, all right, there's people at the top of that ladder that are wicked and evil, all right, and they need to be able to trust you. You don't sit in these important rooms with these important people and then everything is just cool. Y'all just talking about business. Nah, it's some funny stuff that go on behind the scenes, all right? So I just want to let y'all know, man, a lot of these people that y'all look up to as far as with podcasting and old school rappers, they've all been involved in it, man. They've all been involved in it. It's a business, all right? It's a business and it's a brand. And corporations have to get paid. They have to sell their product, all right? And it's all about trust. Just like Jay-Z said, it's a secret society. All we ask is trust, all right? Sick world we live in. But at the end of the day, these people, they'll do anything for a dollar, all right? So I hope I broke this video down for y'all. I'm going to get y'all some more content. Let me know if y'all want these real topics or y'all want me to do documentaries and stuff like that. I'll keep going, but just let me know who y'all want me to talk about next. I'm going to get on some old school rappers. I greatly appreciate everybody that just joined the Patreon. You know what I'm saying? You're much appreciated, man. All right, so I'm gonna get to some more videos for y'all, and peace.